All right. How's everybody doing this morning? Is anybody here this morning? All right. We're in the second week of our 40-day mercy journey. How's everybody doing? Did you get your daily work? You know, a lot of people didn't recognize there's some daily work to do in your book, you know, and just some little devotionals to read. Those devotionals can be as much as you want. You can just kind of read them and just make a few notes and be done with it. Or you can spend some time trying to figure out what God wants you to get from those verses. This has been one of my challenges all the time. And I have read the Bible through. You know, anybody ever do that yearly Bible reading? Anybody, you know, you just read the Bible through in a year? I've done that several times. But what I've discovered is this. What helps me more than trying to read it in all one year is to read it until God says something. It might be a verse. It might be a chapter. I don't know. I just read, and when I feel God said, hey, Gary, pay attention to this, all right, I make my little note. And so don't try, you know, that, well, I got to read five chapters. Here's the key. When you read God's word, you want it to say something to you. That's what you want. You want God to have something for you there. And I guarantee you something. If you aren't, you let the Holy Spirit lead you, God will speak to you every day through his word, all right? I can guarantee that to you. But we're in that mercy study right now, and this is week number two, and I really thrive on this, and I really appreciate this lesson, especially today's topic, because today's topic fits me, all right? The topic is God can use anyone. I want to tell you something. I'm an anyone, all right? You know, I look at my life and what God does and what God has done in my life, and I step back, and, you know, I want to look at this because sometimes I get aggravated because I see people who, you know, they have all sorts of excuses. You know, I'm a victim. Nobody does this, and that this has been in my life, and all these kind of stories, and I'm just one of these guys, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and let's go. But then I realize, you know what? I had an advantage because I had God, and God made the... Because God can use anybody. God can use all of us. And I want to make sure you understand when I'm talking about that is I'm talking about, have you ever been an opportunity where God used you and you've seen it? You know, I still remember the first time when I hadn't been a Christian very long. Two of the young girls in our youth group were all running around together. Her older brother came one time. And I got to share about Jesus to him. And I still remember that opportunity when I sat there in this room and he prayed to accept Jesus Christ. I've only been a Christian for a few months. I still remember that day. You know, I remember, because what I want to say, I want you guys to think about that special feeling when God uses you. That's something, you know, I go to the state youth conference and I'm there at the state youth conference and some of the kids in our group forward. And I just, you know, I hate to say this, but I don't hate to say it. I cry, all right? You know, because I see God doing something in their lives, and I got to be a part of it. I drove them down there. Some of us drove them down there. You know, I love it when we have Awana or Vacation Bible School, and I walk through the parking lot of the school where I drop and see my grandson, and I see some of the kids that I walk through there, and the kids say, Pastor Gary, Pastor Gary. You know, there's just a feeling, you know, when you do something and God has his hand on you and you see God using you, there's a feeling. You know, I love going to Disneyland, right? You know, I enjoy going to Disneyland. I gave up my annual pass. I got withdrawals, all right? You know, but I'm going to tell you, there's something different about being used by God. You know, to think there and to feel that, have you ever had that feeling? That you just felt God used you to maybe invite someone to church. Maybe you were working in the children's room or the nursery. And you know, one of the great pictures I have that I appreciate is I have a picture of Martha sitting in the nursery holding my son Jeremiah. You know, he's 35 years old or 34 years old. I don't know, somewhere in that ballpark. You know, you have to ask my wife how old he is. You know. But I have that picture, you know. I got a picture of a little girl named Diane. Marianne and Linda. It's Marianne's daughter, Linda's niece, and Martha with them. There's something about being a part of when God does something. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you see God, you know, maybe the words of your mouth or some kind action or something you did. I still remember when I was at Lowe's one time, and this lady, she's just kind of frustrated. She's at the cash register. I haven't seen her there lately. She worked there for a long time. And she's sitting there, and you could see she was frustrated. You could see she was struggling. And so we start talking to her. Dan and I was there getting some stuff. We were working on our church, and so I asked, what's going on? She said her had a heart attack, and they're trying to find somebody to replace her so that she could go to the hospital. You know. And so we talk with her, and I say, I'm going to pray for you. So you know what? I go back a week later, and I make sure I go get in her line, right? And I talk to her and ask her, how's her husband doing? And I've been praying for her husband, and he's doing better. And to be used by God, there's just something about that. But see, one of the problems is a lot of people feel God can't use them. Anybody? Don't raise your hand if that's you. All right? Because a lot of people feel that, you know, I'm unqualified. You know? Well, you went to school to be a pastor. I'm going to tell you something. I'm one who, I got a college degree. I got a master's degree. I got a postgraduate degree. I got all these degrees. But you know what they mean? I mean, I went to school. You know? I'm proud of it. I worked hard to get them. But that doesn't define me as a minister. It defines me as a minister as being someone in the hands of God. Now, who can be in the hands of God? Can you? See, God can use anybody, but a lot of times we feel, well, I'm not qualified. I don't have some degree, or I haven't done this, or I haven't been here, or I haven't. Or maybe you feel disqualified. You know, there's something in your life that you say, well, because I did this, because I said this, because this, I can't serve God. But I want you to know this morning that you can serve God. That God can use anybody. Anybody on board with me? Everybody on board with me. This is what it says here. Do not offer parts of your body to serve sin as things to be used in doing evil. Instead, offer yourself to God as people who have died and now live. Offer the parts of your body to God to be used in doing good. Now, this is the mercy because that's what makes it possible. Because of God's mercy, anybody can serve God. Does that make sense? Somebody should say amen to that one. Because of God's mercy, anybody can serve God. And I want to challenge us with that kind of idea and that kind of concept. And I want to begin, and we're going to kind of follow a little story of Paul. And I want to make sure I got a definition of mercy in there again. Mercy, undeserved forgiveness, and unearned kindness. We don't have to worry about, well, I'm unqualified, or I'm, well, just don't meet the standards. I'm disqualified. And I want us to think about that. So we're going to look at Paul this morning. We're going to follow Paul's journey. It's in the letter to the church in Corinth. There's this little church Paul started in a little town called Corinth. It's in Greece, and it's in that area. And Paul started and planted this church. And Paul is kind of explaining ministry to him. And we're going to kind of look at his. And I got like five things to kind of help us wrestle with this idea that God can use you. Because that's my objective. I know because of the mercies of God, God wants to use you. All right, here's the first one I have here in your little outline. It says, never forget it's all because of God's mercy. That God can use you not because you've accomplished something. God can use me because I went to college, right? No. Because I went to postgrad, I went to a Baptist seminary, so I get to be used by God. No. I did this, I did that. No. I get to serve God because God has mercifully called me. And I want you to know this. If you're here this morning and you're breathing, anybody breathing in here? God called you. You were created for a purpose. You were created for a reason. Not just to take up a space on earth. Not just to waste the oxygen if you keep breathing, okay? But God had a pre-designed you. We have this thing in our church. I haven't talked about it much, and we need to kind of go back to some of the things we used to do in the church, that God shaped us, that when he formed you, he shaped you. He gave you some spiritual gifts. He gave you a heart, a passion for something. He gave you some abilities. He gave you a personality, and he gave you some experiences to shape you, to serve him, to be a part of it. Here's how it says here in the Word. Look at what it says here. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. Why don't you circle that word ministry? That through God's mercy, we have this ministry. We do not lose heart. That when we cross that invisible line that you hear me talk about, that when I reach that point in my life, when I say, God, I'm tired of doing things my way, I want to do them your way. When I say yes to God, God says, I got something for you to do. All right? He's got a plan and a purpose in your life. Something he has prepared for you to do. And he calls it a ministry. Now, that can kind of be a frightened word, you know? And it's like, you know, I fill out papers. You know, you ever fill out these papers? It says, what's your occupation? You know, and I have to put my occupation. I don't put minister. I put pastor. Because I'm a pastor. Because I'm going to tell you who a minister is. Every believer is a minister. That word ministry there is a word from deacon. Anybody ever heard of deacon? Anybody been in church long enough to know what a deacon is? Well, that's deaconos. Deaconos. That's the word deacon there. That's the same word. It means serve. God's saying, I called you, I've saved you, and now I want you to serve. I want you to be a part of what I'm doing. And this is what I want to make sure you understand, that there's something about, I feel so blessed because I know what I'm supposed to do. All right? I know what I'm supposed to do with my life. There's just a blessing about that. But God has a ministry for all of us. Now, don't let that word intimidate you, because here's what I want to make sure you understand. It's a service. So this is what I'm going to make sure you understand. Whatever you do is a ministry. If you are, I'm going to say this, if you are a teacher, that's a ministry. Can you be a teacher and serve God at school? What do you guys think? Thank you. We got a teacher. She knows what I'm talking about. You know? If you are a truck driver, you can have a ministry and serve God. Am I right? If you're a teller in a bank, if you're a stay-home mom who's staying home with kids and raising kids, is it a ministry to raise kids? Or do you want to kill them? Take your pick. Probably both, right? You know? But we need to understand, sometimes we kind of separate. Well, ministry is what happens in the church. You know, it's these people up here. It's those people back there. It's the one in the children's department. It's the one in the nursery. You know, it's that ministry. But every job is a ministry. Before I became a pastor, I was a doorman. It went to my head. Some of you guys know this story. Some of you guys have no idea who I was, you know. But I was 18 years old, an assistant manager of a movie theater. I hired, I fired, I talked to Hollywood on the phone, got movies. I dealt with all that kind of stuff, and it went to my head, all right? I wore black patent leather shoes, carried a cane, puffed on Swisher Sweet cigars, walking around the movie theater. This one you could smoke in the movie theater. It went to my head. But I also served God. Isn't that kind of funny? Weird, but serving God. You know, when I was there, and we'd bring Christian movies into the movie theater. That's when they had time to run. Some of you guys have no time about some Billy Graham movies would come out. And we'd bring these movies. And then as a manager, I would send some of my employees into the movie theater to watch the movie. One of the young ladies that was working there, I'd send her in there. Go in there and watch that movie. You know, I'll take care of the counters. I'll take everything. You go in there and watch the movie. She became a Christian. She watched the movie and they had somebody in front of the theater. She went down in the theater and made a decision. I was just a teller at the movie theater. Can you be a ministry besides in church? See, we can serve God anyway. That's why God calls everybody to serve. Anybody can serve. And we all have a part to play. We all have a ministry. I try to define it this way. Here's kind of give different terms. I look at it this. I say you need a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. And that's kind of the two terms. It's basically the same thing, but just in different terms. You need a ministry in the church. We need people to volunteer to work in the children's department. You know, we're gonna do background checks, but we need you to work in the nursery. You know, we need you to help us take the kids to the state youth conference. You know, we need those who are singing on the stage and those who are running the systems and those who are cleaning the church. And we need all of those ministries. But then you also need a mission in the world. That's your job. But see, a lot of us feel that that's my job out there, but when I come into the church, I got to be special. You know, I'm disqualified or I'm unqualified. And this first point's going to go a long ways here. And the next point's going to go quick, so don't worry about how long, all right? You know, because God wants to use you, and he wants to use me, and he wants to do some things in our lives. But a lot of us get hung up on our past. When I did my aunt's funeral, I was talking to my cousins and my grandfather or my aunt and uncle that got me involved in church, because when I was going to seminary, I came back. I left Cal Baptist in Riverside, went to San Francisco area, Marin County, and I commuted from San Francisco, from Marin County to home on the weekend, so I wanted to work in the church. And the church I grew up in, my pastor asked me, would I come on and help him in the church? And he was going to get the church to vote to help me come in and help in the church. And he took the church to vote, and the church didn't vote to let me help in the church. And you want to know why? Because there was some in the church that knew Gary before Gary became a Christian. All right? They knew what Gary was like because they lived around my neighborhood. And Gary, I wasn't bad, but I wasn't good. Anybody in that kind of boat, you know, you're not bad, but you're just not good, you know. And so I never got to serve in that church. I never got to be a part of that church. But I want to tell you something. That's not how God works. I'm going to be honest with you. That's not how this church works either. It was exciting because we're going to have a funeral here next week. And one of the young men that was going to do the service lived here in Salida. But he got arrested and spent 2 years in jail. But now he's serving the God. Can God use him? See, a lot of us think we have a past that God can't use us. You know, I said this, I did this, I behaved like this, and God can't use us. Here's what Paul said. I like it. Listen to what Paul. Now, I want to make sure you get a picture of Paul. Now, Paul's an early believer. And I'm going to tell you, he is a historical figure. You can go and you can find statues made of Paul in Greece and in Rome. You can find statues made of Paul in Galatia area. I mean, they recognize Paul. He's an historical figure. And he wrote most of our New Testament, all right? And he planted most of the churches around the Mediterranean Sea, all right? So here's this very successful, empowering individual that God used. But here's his life before. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion. How I violently persecuted God's church. He was a hunter of Christians, all right? He was one that would go around looking for Christians so they could put them in jail. So he was there when, if you look at the early part of the Acts, the history of the early church, he was there when they stoned Stephen. He was there when he did that. This was Paul. He's going, you know my life. You know how I tried to kill all you guys, right? That's what he's sitting here saying. I was hunting for you guys. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal and traditions of my ancestors. He says, I was better than anybody. I was good at doing the bad. I was good at doing the evil. But, that word, why don't you circle that word? But, even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. But because God is merciful, God had a plan for my life and he waited until I was ready. So here's what I'm saying this morning. Pay attention here. God's waiting for you. Are you ready today? That's what he said here to Paul. Paul said, I was like this. This is what I did. But now I'm over here. Because of God's mercy and God's grace, God is using me for his glory. Anybody want to be used for God's glory? Okay, I got a few hands. Okay, there's a few of us. All right. You know, I want to be used for God's glory. He wants to be used for God's, and he said, I want to be used for God. Does anybody here have a past that you wish you didn't have? Don't raise your hand. But here's the big one. You have a past that thinks disqualifies you from serving God. Don't raise your hand because you don't. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you said. I don't care what you've done. God can still use you. Let me read it off. I got a list here of some of the significant historical believers, okay? Jewish believers who formed the foundation of the Christian faith. You can find their names in the Bible, you know, their historical documents there for them. But here, Abraham didn't wait on God, all right? He ran ahead of God. Anybody ever run ahead of God? Jacob was a chronic liar. Joseph was abused. Leah was unattractive, was poor. Samson was reckless. Rahab was a prostitute. Jonah was fearful and reluctant. Elijah was suicidal. Naomi was an elderly widow. Jeremiah had chronic depression. David had an affair and then killed the husband. John the Baptist was eccentric. I don't know about you. I can eat locusts and wild honey. Martha worried a lot. Thomas had doubts. Timothy was timid. The Samaritan woman had several marriages fail. Peter was in anger management. Anybody fall into any of those categories? And what did God do with these guys? He changed everything, didn't he? See, God can use all of us, anybody and everybody. Our past is the past. It's fine not to live in the past. It's okay not to worry about the past. Because your lesson this week, just so you know, I'll give you a heads up on your, it's a really good lesson on mercy. Because we are forgiven. Forgiven. The past is erased. It's gone. Before you were born, God had a plan for you. Just so you know, God knew you would be here today. Anybody? Surprise! I'm going to go to church today. God says, well, I knew that. Yeah. Here's this other thing to think about. You know, all that stuff you did that you think kind of messed you up and kind of disqualified you or eliminates you from serving God. I got news for you. God knew that before you were born too. Whoa. God knew all the dumb things I was going to do before I was born. You know, I could see God saying, I hope he doesn't. I know he's going to do it. I just hope he doesn't. Anybody have a kid like that? You know, anybody have a kid? You know you're sitting there. You know what they're going to do. But you're saying, please, please don't. Please, please don't. And they go do it. Anybody got a kid like that besides me? You know? I could just see God up in heaven because God knows everything we've done. Before we do it, God knows. He knows. And I could just see God say, please, please, I'm praying, don't do it, don't do it. And he knows you're going to do it. You know? But his mercy, his grace, when you turn to him, guess what he does? He wraps his arms around you. Says, it's okay. We're going to get through this. We'll make this right. I mean, just look at all. Yeah, that's one thing I love about the Bible. The Bible doesn't hide anybody's failures, does it? It's out there. I mean, it's in plain sight. But God uses anybody. There is no excuse for saying, well, God can't use me. I'm unqualified, disqualified. There's no excuse with God. Listen to what it says here. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We all have a ministry. We all have something God wants us to do. Is everybody on board with me on that first point? Because of God's mercy. Not because I've earned it, not because I deserve it. Because I'm anything in my life, I haven't deserved anything. But God has been so good to me. You know? And he's God. Second point I put here, let's go quicker now. We're going to pick it up. Be real. Be real. I get to be Gary. Just so you know, I listen to all sorts of preachers during the week. All right? I like it. It's fun because it's fun to see the different ways God's word is put. And I listen to a church in Washington, D.C., and it's a very intellectual message he preaches in Washington, D.C. You know? Then I listen to a pastor in Oklahoma, and he preaches. And at the end of every sermon, he'll spend the last 5 minutes preaching, you got to be saved through Jesus Christ. Because, you know, in the South, it's a, you just go to church because everybody goes to church. At least that's what it used to be. And so you think you're safe. Grandma went to church. Nana went to church. Papa went to church. Mama went to church. Daddy went to church. I go to church. I'm a Christian because I go to church. Does it make you a Christian when you go to church? You got to make a decision. So, I mean, you know, and it's fun. You know, I don't have to be the guy in Washington. I don't have to be a guy in Oklahoma. I have to be Rick Warren in Southern California. I don't know about you, but I like his teaching. I enjoy the video, man. He knows God's word, man. You get God's word when you get him. You know? But I get to be Gary. Have you ever wanted to be somebody else? Anybody here ever wanted? Don't raise your hand, but anybody? Come on now. I know some of you have wanted. I wish I was more like, you know, you get to be you. See, we got to be real. When we're with God, we get to be real. When you serve God, just be you. You don't have to put on some fake mask, some pretend, some whatever. I love what Paul wrote here. Listen how Paul says this. We refuse to wear a mask and play games. You ever been when somebody plays games? He says, this isn't a game. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes, and we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Whether we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. If God wanted you to be somebody else, he'd make you somebody else. It's who you are. Just so you know, you're not going to see me sing up here, are you? And you don't want me up here singing, right? They were making fun of me on Friday. I came down here when they were practicing because I couldn't keep beat when you guys were clapping last week. I was off. I don't off beat, on beat. I don't know. I don't get all that, you know. I've always believed this. Now, I could get better if I tried. But I made a decision that, you know, I'm going to enjoy music. I'm going to appreciate it. But I'm going to invest on what God has given of research. You know, I love preaching. I'm going to try to become a better preacher and not worry about trying to fix my singing. Because I don't think I can fix it, okay? You know, I just get to be Gary. You know, but just so you know, when I was in seminary, I pastored a church in Little Fiddletown, up Highway, up 16, kind of in the backwoods up there. And I was the worship leader. Why are you laughing? But I did. I got to lead worship, you know. And just so you know, the building was about 16 feet wide, about 30 feet long. And it was an experience that God used that for me. You know, but I know that's not my gift. You know. But I want to tell you, just be you. Is it okay to be you? With your flaws and struggles and battles and, you know, just be, that's what God wants. God wants to use you like you are. It takes, you know, it takes all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people. Well, I want to tell you something else. It takes all kinds of people to reach all kinds of people. There's some people I'm going to reach, and there's some people I can't reach that you guys can reach. You've been shaped. You have some spiritual abilities, some hearts, some abilities, some personalities, some experiences that God can use. And so God wants you. So just be real. So I put it right here. Be who God made you to be. No mask, no pretending, no faking it. This is who I am. Recognize my weaknesses. I'm not going to dwell on them. I'm not going to make excuses about them. I'm going to own my mistakes. I'm going to own my failures. That's what's so nice. I can own my failures and go to God and say, God, I screwed up. God says, okay, you're forgiven. Do me like we did the story last week. Go and what? Sin no more. You know, just be you. God wants to use you just as you are. You're flawed. You're a mess. You're messed up. I said, always go. And I told you the story once before. I'll tell it again because I love the story. I'm new to the church here with the old building sitting here on the property here. And I'm in the front preaching and Martha's in the back with Mozella Brown. Some of you have no idea who these two people are. You know Martha. You don't know Mozella. And they're back there, and my daughter's sitting in the pew in front of them, and they're talking about their new pastor, and they're really proud of their new pastor. That's me. And how good he is, and all the good stuff about their new pastor, because they're proud of their new pastor. And his four-year-old daughter sitting in front of him turns around and goes, you don't know my daddy very well. It's like, oh, Lord. You know, I got stories I can tell. You know, You know, you want to know Gary, talk to his wife. She's gone today, thankfully, so you can't. You know? But God doesn't take all that. God's who we are. He changes us. He forms us. He created us. He shaped us. He shaped you. And so I'm just going to ask you, can you be real? Can you be you? Who can be a better you than you? Anybody? So I just want to challenge you to be you. Don't try to put a mask on and say, well, when I go to church, I got to look a certain way. You know, I got to behave a certain way. Be who God made you to be and be used by God, anybody. It's the mercy of God that does it. And he's ordained us to be his servants, to be part of what he's doing. How about the third one down here? This one is a struggle, at least for me, okay? Remember, it's not about me. It's all about me. Come on. Life's about me. It's my want, when I want it, how I want it, and I want it now, right? Anybody? Life's about me. We live in that world. This is really goes against everything in our world. Anybody ever watch a commercial? Anybody ever see commercials? Anybody ever watch a commercial? You ever phrase, I wrote some of these phrases down. We did it all for you. Anybody? Have it your way. You deserve a break today. You're number one. Think about what is best for you. Anybody ever hear these kind of? Yeah. See, our world says it's all about you. But when you come to God, I got news for you. It ain't about you. It's not about you. Yeah. That's one of the things I've always done. You notice as you look around the church, you don't see my name anywhere. Yeah. Because it's not about, I don't want my name on the church anywhere. You know, a lot of churches had the name by the pastor outside with the pastor's name on it, with the board. You know, you want to put a name on the sign, put Jesus on it, okay? You know, because it's not about us. Just so you know, someday, I'm going to be dead and gone. 105, okay? You know, it's a long journey, you know, but church will still be here. And it won't be here because Gary was here. It'll be here because God has done something in this place in the lives of people. You know, most of you have no idea. I can talk Mr. Kessler. Anybody know who Mr. Kessler is? No. You know, he pastored here for a long time. Lived across the street over by the park. You know, I could go down a list of all the pastors that this church has had. You know, most have no idea. See, it's not about us. You know, I love church. And just so you get my perspective for me in this position in the church is, I see myself as one of the stones. And I get this image from the Bible that we're all stones being built up into the church of God, and I'm just one of them. But the name on the church is Jesus. Because, see, it's not about us, and it's not about you. Well, I want, you know. And I've been in churches, and unfortunately, this church has been a grace-filled church, and you're sitting because of God's grace, because it's not about us. You know, just so you know what churches have fought over? What side to put the piano on? Carpet. You know, the church fought over whether to have padded pews. Yeah. The one thing I'm proud of this church, you know what? This church was painted and nobody really, we didn't vote on the color of the church is. Because if I had a vote, it would have been blue. All right? Because we had a blue church. And we were known as the blue church. You know, and you can ask me, I wanted blue. What's fun, though, if you scrape underneath there, some of the primer on this building is blue. Woo! Because we all have preferences, right? I like this music. I like the offering here. You know, church, I thought over where to put the offering. You know, you got to do the offering right here, not at the end of the service. See, I like the offering at the end of the service because I want another commitment from you. Ha, ha, ha. It's not about your money I want. I want you to commit to God. And I want to fill my paper out and tell me you're making a decision so I can pray for you and serve you. I want to hear from you when I'm done. You know? And so, but it's not about us. It's not about my likes and my wants and my desires. And you know, I'm the pastor. I should get everything I want, right? Because I'm the pastor. It hasn't worked that way. You know? And we need to see that. Just, you know, I'm going to be honest. It's not about you. Look at what it says. We are like clay jars. Clay jars. Breakable. Dispensable. Clay jars in which the treasure is stored. I'm just a jar full of the Holy Spirit. Anybody else a jar full of the Holy Spirit? I got two. All right. We'll take care of it. You know? That's what we are. We're tools of God, filled with the Spirit. The real comes from God and not from us. It's from God. We're that clay, but the power is God. You're sitting here this morning, and I'm saying, anybody can serve God. By the mercies of God, you're not disqualified. You're not unqualified. You can serve God. Just be yourself, and you're sitting there going, well, I don't have any knowledge. The real power comes from God. Ooh. Well, I don't have any experience. The real power comes from God. I don't know how to do. The real power comes from God. Anybody here? You can serve God because the real power comes from God. I'm going to tell you, you don't think you need real power, go work with the children for a while. Go to Awana. You know, I can. Some of us could give testimony. There's, you know, during Awana, there's some kids that try your patience. Maybe you're even raising one, right? Maybe you raised one. You know. But who gave me the patience? You know. And I always, just so you know, maybe I'm more graceful because I know who I am and where I came from. Those kids that are the hardest, I have the best love for because I know they can change because I know I did. You know? And I see that in their lives. See, it's not about you. So I wrote it this way. God often puts his greatest gifts against people. That's me. Like I said, my first sermon, rehearsed, practiced, got it all worked out, got a 22-minute message. I was done in 10 and crying halfway through it. Now you guys wish I could preach that fast now, don't you? You know? It's like, I don't see, you know, it's kind of like you watch this and you, how do you spell that word wrong? Okay, I'm the weakest vessel. It's not our strength. It's God's power. We're the vessel. I'm that clay jar. Anybody a clay jar in a vessel of God? Let him empower you. Let's get to the next one. Number four. Use my pain to help others. Has anyone here been through the school of hard knocks? Well, I got some hands on that one. Anyone here going through the school of hard knocks right now? All right. All right. There we go. You know, we all have pain in life. I got news for you. If you're not, here's the thing he's heard. If you're not in trouble right now, here's the thing. You either are going into trouble, in trouble, or getting out of trouble. You're in one of those three places right now, and you will always be in one of those three places. Because we all are going to have pain. So here's my question. What do you do with the pain? I'm going to have it, so what are you going to do with it? I'm going to whine and complain and get mad, get frustrated, blame everybody, and get angry, right? Right? What God is sitting here saying, what we're going to talk about is God wants you to use that to help others. Use that to be there as part of your ministry. You can use those stories in your life. You can use those things in your life, those pains, to bless someone else. Because that. Listen, here's Paul's story, okay? I told you how Paul hunted Christians. Now, this is what Paul went through after he became a Christian. Tell me if you think this has been a nice life. Are they servants of Christ? See, he's kind of laying out his credentials, okay? I am a fool to talk this way, but I serve him better than they do. Paul's sitting there saying, I serve God as good as anybody else. Because people were saying, well, we're better than Paul. Paul's saying, wait a minute, let's get this in order here. I have worked harder and have been put in jail more times. I have been beaten with whips more and have been in danger of death more often. 5 times my own people gave me 39 lashes with a whip. 3 times the Romans beat me with a big stick, and once my enemies stoned me. I have been shipwrecked 3 times. I've even had to spend a night and a day in the sea. During my many travels, I've been in danger from rivers, robbers, my own people, from foreigners. My life has been in cities and deserts, at seas, and with people who only pretend to be the Lord's followers. I have worked and struggled and spent many sleepless nights. I have gone hungry and thirsty and often had nothing to eat. I've been cold, cold from not having enough clothes to keep me warm. Besides everything else, each day I am burdened down, worrying about all the churches. When others are weak, I am weak too. Others are tricked into sin, I get angry. Paul's sitting there saying, here's all the pain in my, here's all the stuff I went through in order for God to get the good news out. Paul's saying, I'm going to use all my pain, I'm going to let all my pain be used for God's glory. I'm going to let everything I had, all those experiences. And so that's what I want to challenge us with. We all have painful, anybody here have a painful story? We all have painful stories. We've had painful experiences. Tragedies, heartaches. And God sits there and says, I want to use those in your life. I want to take those hurts and those wounds. Listen, as he goes on, here's how he says this. We often suffer, but we are never crushed. Isn't that nice? Even when we don't know what to do, we never give up. In times of trouble, God is with us. When we are knocked down, we get up again. Look at the past. Look at the little blank right there. We often suffer, but we're crushed. I don't know about you, but I've got close to being crushed. Anybody? Anybody feel you're at the end of your rope? Anybody fed enough? You know, life's not fair. Anybody ever tell your kid that? You know, the kid comes in and life's not fair. Suck it up, you know. Well, sometimes we need to hear it, right? You know, it's just life. So we often suffer. But let me give you a picture here. We're all going to suffer. Two things cause it, all right? Let me tell you, two things cause your suffering. One, you did it to yourself. Anyone in that boat? Anyone here have a decision? Anyone here ever say something wrong? Anyone here do something you just, what was I thinking kind of stuff? And then you get the consequences. All right? You know, and so you have those experiences in your life. And you do it to yourself. You're suffering because of your own decisions, situations. But then there's also suffering that comes from, well, you're innocent. You didn't do anything. You know, it's not your fault. Somebody else, something else happened. You know, the economy's crashed. You were abused. You were molested. You were raped. You were beaten. You were abandoned. Something happened in your life, and you're innocent. And you're suffering because of that. Some of us had those experiences, right? There's people who've had those. You know? So it comes from one or two. You either have suffering that you've done, and you're just facing the consequences, or you're innocent, and it's happened to you. But here's what I want you to know. You can change those sufferings. I wrote the word this way, redemptive suffering. Because I can use that suffering to minister to somebody else. I can redeem that suffering to God's glory. I can redeem that suffering to God's work. See, God can use those pains. It doesn't have to be innocent suffering. It doesn't have to be my own decision suffering. It's suffering that I want to twist around and turn around, that let God use it for his glory. Can God use your suffering for his glory? I want to see balance, please. All right? We need to see that, and we need to experience that. These sufferings of ours, ours are for your benefit. See, it's not about us. And the more of you who are one to Christ, the more there are to thank him of his great kindness, and the more the Lord is glorified. Paul's saying, all my suffering, I don't care. If I get to tell people about Jesus and they accept God, that's more glory for God. This is why we never give up. Our bodies are dying. Our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Do you feel God can use your pains? But let me ask it this way. Will you let him? You see the picture? Let's get to the last one so we move on. Here it goes. Stay focused on eternity. When you're serving God, you got to look beyond this world. All right? I like this passage, but this passage kind of, I don't know, I struggle with this for a little while. These little troubles, anybody feel you got little troubles or big troubles? Who's got little troubles? Who's got big troubles? All right? I don't know. God says little trouble. These little troubles are getting us ready for eternal glory that will make all our troubles seem like nothing. I feel I got big problems. Anybody got little problems? My problems are always big. But as I wrote this and as I thought about this, this is what I thought about. Let me give you a picture, because what he's saying is, let's put our lives in the picture of eternity. All right? I live on earth. I'm going to live 105, okay? I don't know. You know, whether you live 60, 70, 80 years, that is a blip on a million-year life. Because I got news for you. Just so you know, I'm going to live for over a million years. All right? I just won't live here on earth. I'm going to live forever. It just ain't going to be here. So that 60 years, that 70 years, that 105 years, it's just a little blip on a million-year life. So I put it in perspective. Let me ask you this. How many here can reflect back when you were, anybody here go back when you're 5, 6, 7 years old? Anybody can remember when you're 5, 6, 7? Some of you remember. Did you have any problems when you were 5 or 6, 7? Anybody have problems when you're 5, 6, 7? You know? Somebody stole your graham cracker? You know? The girl next to you didn't like you? You know? You look, how, when you were 5, 6, 7, that problem was a monster problem, right? It was a major issue. It was devastating your life. You would go home crying because of that problem. Now, whatever age you are, you look back on that 5, 6 year age problem. How big of a problem is it? It is a little trouble, right? That's what God is saying. He's saying, you know, all the stuff you're going through here now, when you get to heaven and you live a million years plus, it's just going to be a little blip in your life. He says, you got to put things in perspective. Does that make sense? Do you see the picture he's painting here? You know, as you serve God, all this stuff going on, put it in perspective of, you know what, there's a bigger picture here. Like I say, I don't want to say I enjoy doing funerals, but I enjoy talking at funerals, because I tell people, that person who's passed away is not dead. They're not dead. They just ain't here anymore. They're just checked in somewhere else. All right? You were made to live forever. When God created you, he created you to live forever. The only question is, where are you going to be? That's the only question you got to answer. And what he's saying is, when you live in your life, Jen, this is just a little bit. Get an eternal perspective. We don't look at our troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Look past your problems to the reward. Most of us want, how about some eternal rewards? I want to feel good about myself. Anybody? I want to be happy. Anybody want to be happy? I want to feel good about myself. I want to be happy. You know, I want to be rich. I want to be rich. I was told I was going to be rich. It hadn't happened yet. You know, we want these eternal things in our life. Or maybe we want external things. Anybody, I want a promotion. I want a job. You know, I'm afraid I'm going to get fired. Or do you have an eternal perception? There's more to life than what you see here. So here's my challenge for you this morning. You're going to live forever. Who are you going to serve? Who can you serve? See, God wants to use you. God can use anybody. I'm an anybody. Are you an anybody? Let God use you. Because of his mercies, Not because you're somebody special. I'm Gary the Great. You know, I've told somebody else that this morning. I forget who I said that to, but I said, I'm Gary the Great this morning. You know, I'll write that on my cup. We go up to my aunt's house for Thanksgiving. Guess what I write on the cup? Gary the Great. You know, I don't let people forget. You know, when I'm gone, I'm going to be like Alexander the Great. It was Gary the Great. Yes. You know, it's not about me, right? But I get to be me. I'm the greatest Gary you're going to know. No, I know another Gary. I met another Gary the other day. You know? But God can use anybody. It doesn't matter what you've been. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you said. It doesn't matter. All that stuff is the mercies of God. Our study's on mercies. You're going to have a great study this week. I want you to discover God's forgiveness this week, man. It's an awesome study because you're forgiven because of God. But I want to challenge you to take that mercy and do something. You were created. You were shaped. God gave you spiritual gifts. He gave you a heart. He gave you ability. He gave you a personality. And you've had some experiences in life. And God wants to use you. Will you let him? Don't put a mask on. Just be you. You don't have to be Gary. You don't have to look like Gary, dress like Gary. And who would want to look like Gary? Nope. Get real. You know? Although when I look in the mirror, I go, man, I'm good looking. I tell Laura all the time. She lays my clothes out. I say, I make anything look good. You know? That it's all about God. See, I want to challenge you. Will you serve God? Here at the church and in your job. And I'm going to tell you, a job is if you're home raising kids, that's a full-time job. Anybody on board with me on that one? Okay, I want to make sure you understand that. But you might have a job. Can you do that for God? Can you be that person for God? I can still remember going and buying a car, the first car I bought. Went there, worked out, made a deal with the car, talked to the guy who knew I went to California Baptist College right around the corner from the car dealership was. Had to bring the car back. You know how you get a new car, you got to take it in to get all the little things fixed. Anybody know what I'm talking? You got to get all the little things fixed. I go back in to turn the car. Yeah, I need this fixed. The guy says, come back to the office. Then he outlined, can you pray for me? Whoa, yeah. Buying a car, I get to pray for somebody. Can you do that? Anybody, you can minister. I want to challenge you. Will you be an anybody today? Will you? Will you be an anybody? It goes like this. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Serve God through his mercies. Let's pray. Lord, what a joy it is to know that you are a merciful and gracious God. That our past is literally the past. That we are forgiven. That you have cleansed us and washed us as white as snow. But above that, Lord, you knew we were going to make those mess ups. Let's call it what it is, Lord, it's sin. But you've forgiven us. And now we want to be you. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to ask you this morning, will you thank God for his mercies? And will you start living for his purpose? For the reason he created you? Maybe you need to admit you're afraid or there's battles. Maybe you feel unqualified or disqualified. But if you're going to say, God, I want to serve you. I want to be an anybody. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me so I can be an anybody? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of these that say they want to be an anybody in the hands of God. We are the clay jars. And so I bring these jars and these lives into your presence that you may fill it with your power. Touch each heart that raised a hand. Touch each life that lifted a hand. Lord, fill them with the power from above that they can't explain what God is doing, that they don't understand what God is doing, but they've said yes, and things are happening. There's fear, there's pain, there's things in life, but Lord, it's all for your glory. Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Let it overflow that others may see Jesus in them and join them in this wonderful journey. For we are the anybody's day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.